introduce real quick. So if you're watching this, this is Ray Chiu Poker Podcast, Lui Chiu Po Hub. But this is the very first time I'm doing it in English, and I have a wonderful guest here today with me, and on the left, is Andy Stacks.
What's up, everybody? Sorry that my Mandarin and my Cantonese, well, first of all, I don't know how to speak Cantonese at all, and my Mandarin is probably not good enough to have a fluent and fluid conversation.
No, you're way too humble. Yeah, like, the reality is my Mandarin sucks.
Okay.
It really is. Your Mandarin is probably better than mine, to be very honest with you, man.
Works out for both of us, then.
Nevertheless, great to have you here. Like many of you, probably have seen Andy from his appearances on various cash game shows. That's how I first know him too. So Andy, I know. Well, right now you're in Taiwan. Is it correct?
That's right. I've been here in Taiwan for the last about 6 months. 6 months now, and
How do you like it?
It's been great. It's been great, Ray. You know, I've first of all, my family is back here, so I've been spending a lot of time with my family.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you know, seeing some old friends and reconnecting with people, and just honestly, just enjoying, you know, my time out here. You know, it's so different from my experiences in life in the States.
Well, for sure, man. I was gonna say because Hong Kong people like love Taiwan as well. Like, we love the food, we love the people in particular, because like Taiwan people are just so nice, don't you think?
I think that, first of all, you're correct, and I think from what I heard, it's that we're influenced by Japan a lot, you know, like culturally, but the fashion, the food, and you know, like we're big fans of Japan, and so, you know, like Japanese people are super, super nice and courteous, and I think culturally that rubbed on to Taiwanese people over the years. And you know, I definitely for sure feel like Taiwanese people are just especially friendly and you know, warm-hearted and things like that. So,
well, I sure feel that, because I don't know, like you're from the States, so you're probably more familiar, like people from Hong Kong or people from like southern part of China tend to be cold, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, like it's just different, I guess, you know. It's people are just different out there, I guess. You know, I've only been to Hong Kong once. Okay. Actually twice. Once when I was really young, and once a few years ago. But I've had too many, you know, terrible experiences with people out there, you know.
Yeah, I'm check out Hong Kong, not for the people, of course, but you know, for Hong Kong, for what it is. But like, this is
HPKK, well, what is it?
HKPPA. Yeah.
HKPPA. I'm gonna come by next time. All right.
Hong Kong Poker Players Association. Thank you. So thank you. Not intentional like shilling for my association. But so like a lot of my audience like have been to Taiwan to play poker. So like, yeah, tell us how you feel about it. Like, because you're coming from, you know, American background, like you play a lot in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So since I came back to Taiwan, I've, you know, immersed myself in the poker community here. And you know, I have to say it's vastly different in so many ways. You know, first of all, I think people in Asia in general that I've met, you know, so far have been just very, very, very like, what's the word I'm looking for? They're very friendly and they're passionate about poker, you know, and they almost, I didn't know this actually before I came back, but when I first got to Taiwan, I realized that, you know, not only are they big fans of poker, but they're, you know, they almost put me on a pedestal. Like they treat me like some kind of celebrity, you know, and I really wasn't used to that, because in the US, it's like the opposite. Like when you're, you know, playing in these games, you know, these poker games, players kind of conceal how they really feel. And the competition is a little bit different. Like people are not, you know, coming up to me and asking me poker questions and, you know, idolizing me and like ask me strategy questions. Like, I don't really get that much, you know, like there's so much competition in the games I'm in there that I was kind of surprised when I came back and, you know, had all these people coming up to me and wanting to take photos and ask me a ton of poker questions and things like that, you know, like they really wanted to learn, you know, and they were humble and they were just, you know, it's hard to turn them down, you know, when they're coming up with me that attitude, when they're just like genuinely, you know, want to know more about poker and stuff like that. So
I felt like you're selling yourself a little bit short here, but I mean, because like I think many of my audience, you know you from your appearances on Life of the Bike, right? And you definitely, I mean, I'm a fan of the show too, and you definitely crushed that game. So I'm sure a lot of people in the US could recognize you too, man.
Right, right, for sure.
But yeah, like I do agree with you. Like Taiwan for, I mean, I think the poker, this poker culture or community does not have a very long history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
still very new here.
Mm-hmm. Very new. Like, for example, like CTP, the biggest poker club here in Taiwan, is just celebrated the 5th anniversary, I think.
Yeah, yeah. They just had their anniversary. It's great because I think in Taiwan, it's a great place to learn poker too, because they have smaller buy-in events and it's not as intimidating for new players, you know? Not only that, but there's not as many, I want to say, like really, really tough and strong intimidating players. And I feel like everybody kind of teaches each other and helps each other improve. You know, like I mentioned in one of my previous videos, there's line groups that people have. Line is kind of like WhatsApp in Asia for those that don't know. So they have these line groups where it's just hundreds of people in there talking poker strategies, sharing hand histories and things like that. And so it's definitely a good environment for newer players to you know, get better. So.
Yeah, I've seen some of those too, but you made a very good point, is that like, I don't know if you've seen that. I think for almost certain you have seen that, right? Sometimes they like to talk about strategy on the table, and that's...
I have noticed that, yeah. That's definitely something that's different than what I'm used to in the US, you know?
Yeah, because in the States, like, that is a big no-no, right?
Yes, it's frowned upon, you know, to help another player improve, especially in-game. So that's something that's very different for sure.
Because I think what you mentioned, right, like on a line group or like a private groups, like good friends, like small groups try to help each other to improve. That is complete fair game. That is the opposite of frowned upon. That is encouraged, right? But like on the table, like that's a huge cultural differences, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't feel like that's something that's going to kind of just, that's how it is, you know? And I've gotten kind of used to it since I came back. But, you know, it is something that I did notice right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And another thing that I noticed that is that in Asia, like especially in Taiwan here, poker community, like people are like looking forward to want to have me in the game and play with me. You know, like I think it's a lot of it is like I get so many invites and it's just I think a lot of it is, like, people want the opportunity to be able to play in the game with me and to maybe learn something or maybe bluff me or take a big pot away from me or something. But
so
like
they can tell the tale after, right?
Right, right. But in the US it's like the opposite. It's like I'll show up at casinos and I don't wanna like gloat or anything, but sometimes I'll show up and the game will just kind of break. Like I'll sit down and I just get my chips and players just don't wanna play in games where whether it's too short or there's not enough weaker players or
you know, in the US that's like
I don't get anybody coming up to me and trying to be in a game with me, you know. Like, but in Asia I feel like, you know, people are so welcoming, like they want me to be in the game, they're, you know, they just it's different, feels different.
Well, because you bring that up, like I was gonna ask you like way later in this podcast, but because one of the questions I want to ask you later is that like, just being famous, like, so it really affect you that much, like, you know, in terms of getting in the game, like does it hurt your actual poker income?
Honestly, it doesn't affect me that much. I think because in the States, when I play No Limit Hold'em, you know, it's I don't play in like if I'm playing for larger stakes, you know, higher stakes, the games are usually organized. And, you know, the mid stakes and the smaller stakes that are around, you know, in the city, like anybody can get into them. You know, it's not.
Yeah. I'm familiar.
They're so plentiful. They're everywhere. And so it doesn't really affect me, like. You know, I still get invites to those, but for the higher stakes, definitely like they need to be organized. And so, you know, whether I'm organizing them or I'm, you know, organizing with somebody else, you know, it takes a little bit of work to put these games together. You know, they're getting more and more scarce, you know, as players are getting better and better at No Limit Hold'em. And so it doesn't really affect me too much, you know, being on the show or thing like that. So.
Okay. So I don't want to like stray too far from our topic. We're on the Taiwan You know, playing poker in Taiwan and then in the US are quite different, right? Because specifically, you're based in LA, correct? Is that correct?
Yeah. I live in LA, and
I used to play. So how I get into poker? How I got into poker was I went to school in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay. Yeah,
and you know, Bear Down, U of A, and so I play a lot of poker in Arizona, in Vegas, and make some trips to LA too. And in particular, I found but back then I was playing low stakes though. But I found LA players are really intense, if you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about. I've they'll get in arguments and fights over, you know, things like on the table and things like that, right?
Oh yeah. Like I see fights all the time, or shouting matches all the time. I definitely see way less of them elsewhere in the state, and very, very rarely in Asia. Very, very rarely.
Yeah. I think it's that's another big difference too, for sure. Especially in the smaller stakes in a couple of the LA casinos that are notorious for exactly what you're talking about. There's fights breaking all the time. Security is ready for that, you know? And it's usually the smaller, lower section of people playing, you know, with their paychecks, you know? And so there's going to be people, you know, getting a little bit upset, you know? So,
well, yeah, paychecks, right? I've seen so many people buying in for I don't know, awkward amount. I can't help but guess. He's probably for $67. That's probably all he has to his name.
Right. When he's digging into his pocket and pulling out the last of his change, right, and trying to buy in short.
So it's very, very different. LA is a very intense place. Taiwan. So in LA, do you play mostly cash games?
Mostly cash, yeah. Mostly cash. I my favorite is just live cash, you know, live shorthanded cash games and deep.
Oh, shorthanded cash games.
Mm-hmm.
But in Taiwan, I from what I saw on your YouTube channel, by the way, audience member, you should check out, you know, Andy's YouTube channel. You search for Andy Poker or Andy Stacks, I think.
Yeah, either one.
So you've been playing a lot of tournaments as well in Taiwan. How does it feel?
Tournaments are, you know, it's a whole different breed for me. I've been just having fun with those, you know, in Taiwan. It's for, you know, less money than what I would hope for to play for in these tournaments. But if I just adjust my mindset a little bit and not think about that and just enjoy the competition of it, then it's fun, you know. But if I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the prize pool and I'm, you know, concerned about playing all day for X number of hours, and, you know, then it's going to be a grind, right? So it's kind of all about your mindset, and, you know, you can just enjoy playing the game, you know, then it's not as bad. And it's nice to be able to play live poker, you know, so.
But the low buy is exactly Taiwan's charm, you know, because I'm a tournament organizer myself too. We've with HAPPA and I promote for Asian Poker Tour as well. The thing about Taiwan, why Taiwan, in my opinion, at least, right? Why Taiwan is such a gem is that how they're capable of holding these really, really low buy-in tournaments because the cost is so low.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The turnout is crazy. So many people, you know, just, you know, signing up for these events and busting out and rebuying and, you know, running daily tournaments too, every day, just...
Yeah, a crazy low, a thousand Taiwan dollars, that's about, what, 30
USD.
30 USD, right? That is something not to mention the States, many other Asian countries and locations are incapable. That's a way too low. We would have to take a 50% rake to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Which is exactly why, you know, Taiwan is such a gem. So I just mentioned your YouTube channel, which I'm a little embarrassed to say I only checked out recently, but you know, I see a lot of things I like. There are some what the cool kids call vlogs.
Vlogs, you know, yeah.
You go to a park or something and talk about how you feel, or you do a Q&As, for example, just tell us, you know, what do you intend to do with this YouTube channel business?
Yeah. Well, don't be embarrassed, first of all, because a lot of people don't know yet that a lot of people still don't know that I have this channel. I just recently started it.
Hopefully that will change.
Yeah, I just started a couple months ago, and so far it's more experimental. Like, I'm just trying different videos and things like that, and it's something that I never would have imagined that I would have done. You know, like, you know, it's something that my best friend has actually been trying to convince me to do for ages. I mean, I've been playing poker for 17 years now, and it's something that my friend has brought up in the past for me to try, and I've always just immediately said no, you know, turn it down. Like, there's no chance in hell that if you asked me a few years ago if I was gonna do this, the answer would have just been there's no, you know, no way, you know. Like, it's just, it's against it's just against what I believe back then, what how I should carry myself as a poker player. You know, I think the game of poker has evolved so much in the last 70 years that I've played, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, you know, I feel like it's not a bad thing to evolve with the game, you know, as a player. You know,
I definitely see what you mean. Like, you play poker for like you just mentioned, 17 years, right? I play since 2007. For
right.
14 years, right? Like, back then, like, the what we call influencers, you know, nowadays, or key opinion leaders, right? They were the right. top pros, right? Remember, like, back then, yeah. It was the Full Tilt Poker. Like, those are really cool, right? Those guys,
yeah.
Like Bill Ivey, Eric Seidel, those guys. Those guys were cool, right? But like, I definitely see like how the culture, the community change, the technology changes, right? Like, now, to be honest, I don't think the most, for example, like I no longer think, when I think about the most important poker influencers are YouTubers, actually.
For sure, for sure.
Like, you probably have seen like Andrew Neme, like those guys, like Brett Owen.
Yeah, those guys are huge. Those guys are great.
Like, I think no one is going to mistakenly try to compare them to like Phil Ivey, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they are just as important to our poker community nowadays.
Oh, sure. The reach is amazing. The following that they have and the amount of people that they reach with their videos and new players coming in watching their videos and things like that. The contribution that these guys are making that is so underrated, you know.
I think they get recognized like more and more. Like, I still remember like Andrew Neme, like when he first started, like he was one of the few streamers, and I just moved back to Hong Kong when he started. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, I missed it, you know, like what he's capturing. Like, I used to be in the poker rooms in Arizona, in Vegas, in day in and day out. I missed them and I watched it, and then slowly, you know, it becomes a whole thing, right? Like, poker YouTubers,
for sure, for sure, and they've managed to influence a lot of new players to start doing the same, you know, creating vlogs and documenting and sharing their experiences and things like that, and you know, it's great.
It is great, and they do like these meetup games too. Like, I think I still haven't seen them in Asia, which is something I hope to see soon. Or, I mean, maybe you can do some meetup games.
Yeah,
great. No, I mean, like, you should organize meetup games. So, like, I don't know, somewhere in, I don't know, in Taiwan or somewhere, people go there to play, try wanting to meet you.
I've actually held a couple of them out here in Taipei. And they've
turned up pretty well. The time tournament, right? What's they call it?
Yeah, that was one of them. But we also did a couple of them in the past where, same thing, single table or, like, couple tables and... you know, invitation and, you know, yeah, it's, we've had a couple of them, but I plan to do more, you know, in Taiwan. And I'm also open to, you know, any doors that may open in Asia, in the Asian poker scene as well, you know, as obviously we're, you know, can't do anything now because of the virus, but hopefully when things die down, you know, I'm looking forward to traveling a bit more and checking out the poker scene, you know, in Hong Kong and in China and, where else?
I'm happy to show you around, like, because of APT or not even because of APT. I already travel a lot. I can show you Vietnam is my favorite, probably my co-favorite with Taiwan, and then the Philippines, the South Korea as well. Really great.
I've never been to any of those countries.
Hopefully the situation clears up soon. But I feel bad. I said a little too much about myself. Like, let's get back to your YouTube channel, right? Like, so
yeah.
How do you envision? Yeah.
Like I said, with the evolution as a poker player, you know, with the game and putting myself out there and doing something that I never thought that I would ever do. You know, it's almost like a personal challenge for me. The way I saw it, you know, is because of the fact that I would never do this is the exact reason why I'm doing it. I'm trying it, you know. For me, it's like there's only a certain lifespan that you have to do something, to try something. And I feel like now is the time, since I'm back in Taiwan, I have extra time. And I thought to myself, like, why not? You know, why turn it down for this long? And now you have a chance to reach people and to share your experiences and, you know, things like that, to document your life out here, you know, see where it takes you, you know. Like, I thought to myself, why not? And so that's how I kind of got started, you know. And the more that I'm doing it, the more that I feel that it's great to help promote poker internationally. You know, I think like two decades ago, when the poker boom first started in the U.S., I was really fortunate to be
Chris
a part
Money
of that.
Maker, yeah, like exactly. Back then, yeah.
I was super fortunate to be part of that, and I feel like, you know, if I can do my part here to help promote it in Asia as well, then you know, it's something that I should definitely be a part of. And you know, since poker is still growing out here, and you know, it's for me, it's like I feel like why not give back to the community that I've taken so much from, you know, for the last two decades, you know. So that's another part of the reason why I'm doing this.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because you mentioned the poker boom, right? Like it's obviously, I'm sure you consider it super, really, really fortunate to start around that time, because that was the time when the games are really, really good, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah,
also, poker boom. I think a lot of people attribute to Chris Moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he himself has been to Asia, like, prior to promote the game. I would say, like, you know, he made the honorable effort, but it wasn't very effective. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Like, partly because obviously, you know, he doesn't speak the language. He doesn't. I've seen him in an event in China. I don't think he's making an effort to connect with the people as well, even though he's a nice guy. Like, you know, you ask for a picture, he would. So you speak Chinese. That's gotta be a big plus, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm it's a work in progress, the Mandarin. It's every time I go back to the States, my Mandarin level just plummets because I don't use it.
Oh, yeah?
So my brain is unable to, like, I just can't speak it. I'm not used to it. But then when I come back to Asia, I'm forced to, that part of my brain turns on again. And, you know, because I moved to the U.S. when I was 2 years old, you know, and so I did take Chinese classes and things like that. But definitely when I come back to Taiwan, I'm in an environment where I have to speak Mandarin. definitely helps me, you know. My Mandarin level improves a lot, you know, and for sure. I kind of want to go back to what I was saying about, you know, just poker in general, like with the YouTube and everything. Like, I feel like so much of poker is so self-serving. You know, I think people are like entitled, you know, and they feel entitled. You know, they show up to play a game.
I laugh because I understand and agree exactly, not because I disagree. I agree.
Right, right.
Very self-serving, so it's self-centered, right?
Yeah, like people show up and they play a game and they try to get paid, you know, and they expect to get paid. Because they play a card game well, you know, and it's pretty crazy if you think about that, because it's unlike any other profession in the world, you know. And so, you know, part of doing the YouTube and you know, talking about poker, talking about hands, it's just something that was really foreign to me a few years ago. Like, everybody knows, like on Live the Bike, or, you know, if I'm on the poker table with them, the last thing I'm going to talk about is poker. Like, I'm not going to talk about strategy, you know. I'm not going to expose how I feel about certain hands or things like that. But I feel like because I've been like that for so long, you know, that
I hear you, which is, I mean, very different from playing a sport, for example, right? Because if you're playing, like, for example, you play golf, right? You would talk to your friends, right? Like try to, you know, improve each other, right? It doesn't hurt to mm-hmm. help a friend to get better, right? But in poker, I mean, I guess it might, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah. But I see a point that for sure. But like, which is why, like, when many like top poker players start doing poker coaching mm-hmm. as well as coaching videos, there was this controversy. Like, are mm-hmm. they, you know, did they make the poker world poker population too good? So like, it kills everyone's mm-hmm. profit. Like, you know, like there was a big debate back then. Like a little less so right now, where actually a lot of people try to be coach or make coaching videos right now, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. Yeah, like for me, I don't know if I would go as far as doing coaching in that sense. I mean, I feel like I'm gonna be opening myself up to maybe one-on-one coaching, but not actual classes. Like I don't think I would ever do like actual coaching videos and try to profit off that, you know. But I get so many questions out here in Asia from poker players that are up and coming and they're new to the game, and you know, they ask me a bunch of hand questions and things like that I probably would be open to doing one-on-one coaching, you know, like for players that really want to improve, and if I felt like it was the right fit that I could help them and things like that, you know, I'm gonna be open to doing that in the future. And
so more like an apprenticeship, something like that, right?
Sort of like that. Yeah. And I actually have somebody that's in the works I'm talking to that is helping me create some kind of like a website, you know, where they're able to fill out some questions and kind of let me get to know them as a poker player and see what they're looking for, you know, and if there's a way that I can help them, you know, then it's definitely possible.
I mean, if you have a YouTube channel, Discord is what you need to do, man. Discord.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, I can definitely see that, because a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed a poker player from Hong Kong. You probably don't know Edward Yam. Like he also talks about his coaching experience. He's like you, like he's, we all this, about the same age and same amount of poker experience, and he mentioned like, oh, he would never imagine, you know, being a coach, but now mm-hmm. he's coached to seven students, if you may,
mm-hmm.
and more like, you know, what you mentioned, instead of, you know, renting out a space to give lectures, he do like one-on-one fellowship or apprenticeship, which mm-hmm. is how he think is most effective.
For sure. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, we're all getting old, right? And we're not getting younger for sure. And
unfortunately, not.
For me, like I'm personally don't think that I would be wanting to play poker forever, you know. And so part of doing the YouTube and the coaching and things like that, all this stuff, it all kind of ties in together for me. Like I do want to be able to leave behind something for the poker community when I do end up not being, you know, part of it one day, or not playing poker.
That's very admirable of you. So, but like what you just mentioned, like reminds me of a very interesting point. Like because you probably unfamiliar with the Hong Kong poker scene. Like I often, on my show, obviously talk a lot about Hong Kong poker scene, how I think like Hong Kong is a very difficult place for an aspiring new poker pros to start.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about Taiwan and the States? Like for someone young, want to start, like, you know, how do you think? Like, is it easy, difficult?
There's pros and cons. It's definitely a lot harder now than it was, obviously 20 years
ago. Oh, yeah.
Definitely a lot harder now. But at the same time, there's still abundance of games, like, everywhere. Like, if you just go to LA and the main local casinos, you can just hop into you know, any one of the smaller games, there's just so many games running all the time, 24/7. And, you know, that's definitely one of the pros, you know, and, you know, whether you're in Vegas or in LA, you know, there's no shortage of games. Whereas in Asia, I think sometimes there might not be as many games, you know, especially if you're playing, you choose to play live, you know.
Nice.
And so that's one of the big differences, I think. So it's still there.
So that's just starting in the States, right? Like, so you mentioned you get a lot of questions from new players. Like, what do you think, like, about starting to be, you know, start in Taiwan as a poker pro? Like, what do you think? Is it how difficult or how easy? Is it good? Is it a good place to start?
I think it depends on what you're looking for, you know, because obviously cash is still not legal here, live cash. So you're going to have to
pay. It's gray area, yeah.
It's gray area, yeah. You online is fine, even if that's what you're looking for. But if I think for tournaments, you know, it's a great place to start to learn, you know, like I mentioned before at CTP, where they have the environment there is great, you know, to learn poker and to play small events and, you know, and recreationally too, if you just spend a little bit of time and jump in these events, you know.
So often thing, yeah, like Taiwan, like having these low buy-ins definitely helps people get started for sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because this in the state, in LA or in Vegas, there's some low buy-ins too, like, because in some part of Asia, like for example Macau used to have a thriving poker scenes. Now there hadn't been any poker tournaments for at least 2 years now, and one of the problems with Macau was the cost. Once again, like circle back to the problem, and yeah, the lowest game is just too big. Like before this pandemic, the lowest cash game you can find in Macau casinos is 5,100 Hong Kong, which is about 612 US.
Okay,
which is I mean, I wouldn't say this is high stakes. This is probably mid to low stakes, but I mean, that's not exactly easy for someone just starting, right?
No, it's going to be a very costly habit, and they might get discouraged and give up if they keep losing in the beginning. So it definitely has to be smaller for them to manage, you know, be able to afford it. So.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I've been putting off for a while now, but like, I hope you don't mind, you know, like when I, you know, whenever I try to, you know, tell people like tonight's my guest is Andy, I'm tempted to say, you know, Andy from Life at the Bike. Does that bother you? Like I refer you to as Andy from Life at the Bike.
It doesn't bother me. I know most people recognize me from that show, or maybe some of the big pots that I've played with certain players, you know, highlights on YouTube. You know, but obviously for me, I do want to be able to not be associated with Live the Bike only, you know, forever. You know, I like I said, I'm very interested in the poker scene in Asia, especially. You know, I think there's so much growth there and there's so much potential, especially when I didn't know about it until I came back, you know, that's how it was, you know. Just the amount of poker fans is crazy, and they're so fanatic about the game, you know. It's different than in the US where I'm used to, where the game's been around for so long, and just it feels different, you know, for sure.
I would say there are like fair shares of poker, you know, and you know, fans in the US as well. It's just, I guess, you know, in Asia is a more recent cool thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
you can call me Live with the Bike Andy if you want, Ray.
No. Andy Stacks, you know, check out Andy's, you know, Andy's YouTube channel. Search for Andy. Well, you know, you'll see Andy Poker, you'll see his face and click on his video, right? So I talked to my audience members before, like I asked them what they want to ask you about. Like, unsurprisingly, many of them are about, you know, your appearances on the show. So see, you know, let me bring up a few. Like the first questions I got was, they would like to know, do you feel nervous, especially when you're playing, you know, high stakes, you know? High stakes on Life at the Bike, when you know so many people. Like right now, it's a very popular show. A lot of people, you know, watch it live or, you know, the recordings. Like, does that make you nervous?
You know what, Ray? You get used to it. In the beginning, when I first started playing on stream, it was a little bit weird and took some getting used to. But after a while, you almost kind of just forget the camera's there, you know, especially in... when the game's bigger and there's a lot of money at stake, I tend to find a way to just ignore that I'm playing on the stream. And I just try to just be in the moment and just play focus on the game. And, you know, so it definitely is, takes some getting used to in the beginning. But yeah, it's after a while, it's, you know, just like any other poker game and you forget about it. So,
Yeah, like, because this show, honestly, this show has been around. And I mean, I've never been on the show, but, you know, as a watcher of the show, I don't think they're that intrusive, right? They just, you know, they put the camera there. They have a commentator, which you guys can't hear, right? And you're there just playing poker, right?
Right, right, for sure. Exactly. Oh.
But like, it's not the biggest game. Like, this is one of the, as a longtime Life of the Bike fan, like, this is something I admittedly I'm not a huge fan of. Is like, because of the more recent like popularity, like, they just do the bigger games like a little too often than before. Oh, right?
Okay.
And the same people over and over again. Like, you play with the, whenever you play the bigger games, right? Like, it seems to be the same. Similar lineup all the time, right?
That's because there's a very selective number of people that are willing to expose their whole cards for that amount of money, you know?
Oh, that's a factor, right?
And not only that, but there's obviously there is going to be, like any other big poker game, there's going to be a little bit of politics in play. And certain players will not want to play if there's certain players in the game. And also the show does reward players that are loyal to the show. And what I mean is that they're not just going to play in games where the game is going to be very, very soft, you know, like sometimes the show is on a schedule. Right. And so they're going to need to have games. the Friday is always set for a larger game. And so if you want to be able to secure a seat, you know, I think how it works is that sometimes you're going to have to play in a lot of games that are kind of not that great. You know, the show still needs to go. And so if you're going to be cherry picking only the best games, then, you know, you're not going to be able to get a seat all the time. I think that's kind of how poker works, right?
And I guess you're definitely a good player in the producer's eyes, right? Because given how often I see you on Live at the Bike.
I'm just, over the years, I feel like because there's not as many choices for the larger games, I try not to be as selective and I just try to jump in any game that is available, you know? So probably not the best way to approach pokers according to some people, but I think for me, you know, I love playing, so, and there's gonna be a game, I'm gonna be there. So
okay, so we touched on that briefly, the next question, right? Like, but we touched on this briefly a little while ago. So mm-hmm. Does your appearance, like, you know, your fame, your popularity, does it hurt you from getting into the private game scene in LA? like
does it hurt? Not really. You know, I think maybe for certain players, it might affect them. But personally, for me, it's hasn't really affected me much. Like I said before, a little bit earlier, Ray, I think, you know, the private game scene, there's going to be some massive games, obviously, and there's going to be some smaller games. But for me personally, if I'm going to a private game, I'm not going to be going to the bigger games. If I don't know what's going on there, you know, because the more the larger it is, there's the more room there is for there to be something to happen, you know.
But don't you do you sometimes get needled? Like, oh, you're that guy from the Life at the Bike Show. You must be a very good player, win all the time. You probably get needled sometimes, right?
I do get that, but the thing that a lot of people don't know about is that when I'm at Life at the Bike and when I'm at if I choose to go to a private game. I'm very different, you know. I'm not how I am on the show, you know. It's, they get to see a different side of me, and so I think that eases people's you know, worries a little bit, is that I'm most of the time, if I'm going to a private game, I'm gonna be going there to try to have a good time with people and just play some poker and have fun, where I feel like when we're playing at the casino for more money, a lot of players are gonna be more serious themselves, and so that's gonna kind of trigger me to not be the same as the way that would be at a private game, you know. So yeah, it doesn't really affect me. I'm still able to play in a lot of these different games in and out, so mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I can't say I have the same level of fame as you do, but like whenever I play in Asia, like I do sometimes get that, like, some, look, because all the people that I don't know would know my name and they expect me to be an excellent poker player, which I'm not, so it is a little pressure, you know. I'm
you gotta put on the Hawaiian shirt and you know, you gotta do some extra, you know.
I have worn a Hawaiian shirt in the past, and maybe I should do that more often. Actually,
sunglasses. They need some really ridiculous sunglasses.
I'll take that to heart. I'll try that. You know, when this clears up, when I can go play poker, I'm gonna get, you know, like, find my Hawaiian shirt and outrageous, you know, obnoxious sunglasses. See how it goes, right?
All right.
Okay, next question is, so do other cash game shows, like, you know, other than Life at the Bike, right? Do other cash game shows invite you to play? Especially you just mentioned, you know, it's a very small group of people who are willing to play online, on stream.
I've played on, aside from Life at the Bike, I've played on Poker Night in America one time.
Oh, that's a good show too.
Yeah, they came to LA and I was able to have the experience of playing on there once. But other than that, I haven't really played on any other, you know. I think there's a possibility I might play on at the Aria, you know, with Poker Go in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I'm totally open to it, you know, as long as there's a game. It's
might as well, right? I mean, if your name is out there and then, I mean, are you going to plug your YouTube channel or not really? Just, you know, just do your thing on the poker table.
Yeah. Just going to do my thing and, you know.
Sure. Yeah, because the same guy, same audience member asked me, like, specifically, will you be on Ryan Feldman's upcoming Hustler poker show?
Yeah, he told me about you know, him and Nick are from Live the Biker branching out and doing their own thing with the Hustler, and you know, congrats to them, by the way. Happy for them. I'm gonna be playing wherever there's gonna be good games. You know, like, I'm not gonna be selective on which show, and you know, that's kind of how LA poker scene works, that you know, you kind of have to just go where the games are, especially with their higher limits, and you know, so definitely.
I see, man, like, so this has been a very, well, I mean, this is a first of all, this is a first for me, like, doing this show in English. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's if you had to have me do this in Chinese, it wasn't going to happen, right? I'll tell you that right now. Other sentence would be like looking at my my dictionary on my phone, trying to figure out how to say.
No way! You know? No way! I heard you speak some Chinese earlier. You're
my Mandarin
probably
level
better than me.
It's capped. It's capped at like a maybe a second grader. Like, I'm able to have dialogue in Mandarin. Anything that's basic daily conversation, but anything beyond that, like anything that's like deeper with, like, you know, I don't even know the vocabulary for it, you know. I don't even know what it's so that, yeah,
that's so. All right, I hope, I don't know how this is being received, to be honest, like the first time in English, but nevertheless, I'm glad that, you know, my first is with Andy Stacks
for sure, know,
like, hey, check this out. Nice,
it's been nice to be able to say, speak English for this amount. Like, this is probably the most English that I've spoken in, you know, for a long time since I came back here, you know.
Same.
In one sitting, you know.
I've been stuck in Hong Kong for over a year too. And I kind of missed that. So, if you're watching this, like, check out Andy's Twitter at Andy Stacks Poker, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
IG is probably the same.
Same, yeah.
And then the YouTube channel, I keep forgetting that. I don't think it's called Andy Stacks Poker. It's Andy Poker,
yeah,
I think.
Same.
Oh, it's Andy. Andy Stacks Poker. Yeah, so check it out for more of his vlogs and poker content, especially because, you know, many of us can't really get out. You know, that's how I kind of feed to my poker hunger. Well, well, nevertheless, I hope you continue to have fun in Taiwan and do great things.
Thanks, Ray. I appreciate it, man. I'm definitely gonna, like I said, I'm gonna have to make it out there to Hong Kong, and you know, we'll get hooked up over there, and you can show me around, and yeah, you know, hopefully we get to play some poker together too.
So. And if you know, anytime, you know, you have more you want to talk about, well, we'll see. We'll have you on my show.
There might be. You know, we'll see. There might be a part two, but you know, we'll talk about it. So,
well, I think a lot of audience members will love that. All right, thank you, Andy.
Thanks, Bray.
Thank you for watching. This is it for tonight. Thank you. Bye, bye.
Everybody.